This is the Power of Your Subconscious Mind podcast, a chapter-by-chapter reading of Joseph Murphy's The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, which is in the public domain. This book was written in 1963, and although the language is a bit arcane at times, the concepts are still cutting edge. I'm your host, Lane Smith Brown, and I am a coach at lanesmithbrown.com and the host of the Unleash Your Life podcast. I help my students apply the concepts in this book by helping them understand what is really playing in their subconscious mind. That's a mystery to most people, and why so many people read or listen to this book and don't get the results they want. Check out the links in the show notes or go directly to lanesmithbrown.com. The Power of Your Subconscious Mind, brought to you by WeirdHummingbirds.com. This book is in the public domain. Chapter 11, Your Subconscious Mind as a Partner in Success. The true inner meaning of success is to be successful at the enterprise of living. A long period of peace, joy, and happiness on this plane may be termed success. The eternal experience of these qualities is the everlasting life spoken of by Jesus. The real things of life, such as peace, harmony, integrity, security, and happiness, are intangible. They come from the deep self of human beings. Meditating on these qualities builds these treasures of heaven in our subconscious. That is the true place where moth and rust do not consume, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Matthew 6:20. The three steps to success. The vital first step to success is to find out the thing you love to do, and then do it. Unless you love your work, you cannot possibly consider yourself successful at it, even if all the rest of the world hails you as a great success. Loving your work, you have a deep desire to carry it out. If someone is drawn to becoming a psychiatrist, it is not enough for her to get a diploma and hang it on the wall. She will want to keep up that field, attend conventions, and continue studying the mind and its workings. She will visit other clinics and pore over the latest scientific journals. In other words, she will work to keep herself informed in the most advanced methods of alleviating human suffering, because she puts the interests of her patients first. But what if, as you read these words, you find yourself thinking, "I can't take the first step because I don't know what it is I want to do. How on earth do I find a field of effort that I will love?" If that is your situation, pray for guidance in this way. The infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind reveals to me my true place in life. Repeat this prayer quietly, positively, and lovingly to your deeper mind. As you persist with faith and confidence, the answer will come to you as a feeling, a hunch, or a tendency in a certain direction. It will come to you clearly and in peace, and as an inner silent awareness. The second step to success is to specialize in some particular branch of work and strive to excel in it. Suppose a student chooses chemistry as a profession. He should concentrate on one of the many branches in his field and give all his time and attention to his chosen specialty. His enthusiasm should make him want to know all there is available about his field. If possible, he should know more than anyone else. The young man should become ardently interested in his work and should desire to use it to serve the world. He that is greatest among you, let him become your servant. There is an enormous contrast between this attitude of mind and that of someone who wants only to make a living or just get by. Getting by is not true success. People's motives must be greater, nobler, and more altruistic. They must serve others, thereby casting their bread upon the waters. The third step is the most important one. You must be sure that the thing you want to do does not contribute only to your own success. Your desire must not be selfish. It must benefit humanity. The path of a complete circuit must be formed. In other words, your idea must go forth with the purpose of blessing or serving the world. It will then come back to you magnified and full of blessings. If you work only for your own benefit, you do not complete this essential circuit. You may appear to be successful, but the short circuit you have generated in your life may lead over time to limitation or sickness. The measure of true success. At this point, you may be thinking, what about that guy I saw a show about, the one who made hundreds of millions of dollars from a shady stock deal? He's as big a success as you'll ever see, and I don't think he cares a bit about benefiting humanity. Such cases are all too common, but we must be careful to understand them for what they are. Someone may seem to succeed for a while, but money obtained by fraud often takes wings and flies away. Even if it does not, when we rob from another, we rob from ourselves. The mood of lack and limitation that led to our behavior manifests itself in other ways as well. In our body, our home life, our relationship with others. What we think and feel, we create. We create what we believe. Even though someone may have accumulated a fortune fraudulently, he is not successful. There is no success without peace of mind. What good is a person's accumulated wealth if he cannot sleep nights, is sick, or has a guilt complex? I once met a professional criminal in London who told me something of his exploits. He had amassed a large fortune that allowed him to live in luxury in his house outside London and his summer place in France. In luxury, yes, but not in comfort. He was in constant dread of being arrested by Scotland Yard. He had many inner disorders that were undoubtedly caused by his constant fear and deep-seated guilt complex. He knew he had done wrong. This deep sense of guilt attracted all kinds of trouble to him. Later, I heard that he had voluntarily turned himself into the police and had served a prison sentence. After his release from prison, he sought psychological and spiritual counsel and became transformed. He went to work and became an honest, law-abiding citizen. He found what he loved to do and was happy. A successful person loves her work and expresses herself fully. Success is contingent upon a higher ideal than the mere accumulation of riches. The person of success is the person who possesses great psychological and spiritual understanding. Many of the great business leaders of today depend upon the correct use of their subconscious minds for their success. They cultivate the ability to see an upcoming project as if it were already complete. Having seen and felt the fulfillment of their prayers, their subconscious minds bring about their realization. If you imagine an objective clearly, you will be provided with the necessities in ways you know not of, through the wonder-working power of your subconscious mind. In considering the three steps to success, you must never forget the underlying power of the creative forces of your subconscious mind. This is the energy behind all the steps in any plan of success. Your thought is creative. Thought fused with feeling becomes a subjective faith or belief. And according to your belief, it is done unto you. Matthew 9:29. Once you understand that you possess a mighty force within you that is capable of bringing to pass all your desires, you gain both confidence and a sense of peace. Whatever your field of action may be, you should learn the laws of your subconscious mind. When you know how to apply the powers of your mind, and when you are expressing yourself fully and giving of your talents to others, you are on the path to true success. If you are about God's business or any part of it, God, by his nature, is for you. So you can be, who can be against you? With this understanding, there is no power in heaven or on earth that can withhold success from you. How he made his dream come true. In Hollywood, I met an actor whose name is probably familiar to every moviegoer or television fan. He confided to me that he had grown up on a small farm in the Midwest. His family was just scraping by. His only entertainment was an old black and white TV that barely pulled in two channels. Even so, he began to dream of being an actor. The dream occupied him more and more. All the time I was out working in the fields, he said, or driving the cows back to the barn, I imagined that I could see my name in big letters on the marquee of a great theater. I saw every detail, the crowds of fans, the interviewers clamoring to speak to me. I kept this up for years. Finally, I left home. I came to Los Angeles and got work as an extra in films and TV shows. Before long, I got my first starring role. The night of the premiere, I drove to the theater and almost fainted. There was my name in lights. There were the crowds and the news reporters, all just as I had imagined them as a child. He added, I, more than anyone, understand how the power of sustained imagination can bring success. Her dream pharmacy became a reality. Some years ago, I got to know a young pharmacist named Mary S. She worked in the prescription department of a big chain drugstore. One day, while she was filling a prescription for me, we started talking. I asked her how she liked her work. Oh, it's fine, she said. Between my salary and commissions, I do okay, and the company has a good profit-sharing program. With any luck, I'll be able to retire while I'm still young enough to enjoy life. I was silent for a moment. Then I asked, was that the way you thought it would be as a child when you decided you wanted to be a pharmacist? Her face grew troubled. Well, no, she replied. I guess not. I always saw myself with my own store. I wanted to walk down the street and have people say hello to me and call me by name. And I'd know all their names because I was their druggist. You're going to think this is strange, but I even dreamed about having parents call me in the middle of the night because their kid was sick. I'd pull my clothes on over my pajamas and go down to the store to get them the medicine they needed. Not much like a 9-to-5 job behind a counter at the back end of a big store, is it? It certainly isn't, I said. But why shouldn't you follow your dream? Wouldn't you be happier and more productive? Raise your sights. Get out of this place. Start your own store. How can I? She said, shaking her head. That takes big money, and we're just getting by from month to month. My response was to share with her a wonderful fact. Whatever she could conceive as true, she could bring into being. I went on to tell her something about the powers of her subconscious mind. She soon understood that if she could succeed in impregnating her subconscious mind with a clear and specific idea, those powers would somehow bring it to pass. She began to imagine that she was in her own store. She mentally arranged the bottles, dispensed prescriptions, and imagined waiting on customers who were also her neighbors and friends. She also visualized a big bank balance. Mentally, she worked in that imaginary store. Like a good actor, she lived the role. act as though I am and I will be. She put herself wholeheartedly into the act, living, moving, and acting on the assumption that she owned the store. Several years later, Mary wrote me to say what had happened to her life since our conversation. The chain store she worked on for went under because of competition from a larger store at a new mall. She found a job as a traveling representative for a major drug company, handling a territory that covered several states. One day, her work took her to a small town on the western edge of her territory. There was only one drugstore in town. She had never been there before, but the moment she walked in, she recognized it. It was exactly the store she had visualized so clearly in her imagination. Flabbergasted, she told the elderly owner of the drugstore about this amazing coincidence. In turn, the owner confided that he was about ready to retire but did not want to sell a store that had been in his family for three generations to some big corporation. After several discussions, the owner offered to lend her the money to buy the store. She would be able to make the payments on the loan out of the profits of the business. The young woman moved her family to the town and soon was able to make a down payment on a big old farmhouse within walking distance of the store. Now, when she walks to work in the morning, everyone she passes says hello and calls her by name. They know her because she is their druggist. Using the subconscious mind in business. Some years ago, I gave a lecture to a group of business executives on the powers of imagination and the subconscious mind. In the course of the lecture, I described how the great German poet Goethe used his imagination wisely when confronted with difficulties and predicaments. According to Goethe's biographers, he was accustomed to filling many hours quietly holding imaginary conversations. He would imagine one of his friends sitting across from him, answering him in the right way. In other words, if he were concerned over any problem, he imagined his friend giving him the right or appropriate answer, accompanied with his usual gestures and tonal qualities of the voice. He made the entire imaginary scene as real and as vivid as possible. One of the people present at this lecture was a young stockbroker. She proceeded to adopt the technique of Goethe. She began to have imaginary conversations with a multimillionaire investor who knew her and had once congratulated her on her wise and sound judgment in recommending stocks. She dramatized this imaginary conversation until she had psychologically fixed it as a form of belief in her mind. This broker's inner talking and controlled imagination certainly agreed with her aim, which was to make sound investments for clients. Her main purpose in life was to make money for her clients and to see them prosper financially by wise counsel. She is still using her subconscious mind in her business, and she is brilliant success in her field. She was recently interviewed in an article in a major financial magazine. A boy of 16 turns failure into success. 16-year-old Todd M. told me, "I'm failing everything. I don't know why. I guess I'm just stupid. Maybe I'd better drop out of school before they flunk me out." As we talked further, I discovered that the only thing wrong with Todd was his attitude. He felt indifferent towards his studies and resentful towards some of his teachers and fellow students. I taught him how to use his subconscious mind to succeed in his studies. He began to affirm certain truths several times a day, particularly at night, just prior to sleep and first thing after waking in the morning. As we have seen, these are the best times to impregnate the subconscious mind. He affirmed as follows: "I realize that my subconscious mind is a storehouse of memory. It retains everything I read and hear from my teachers. I have a perfect memory at my disposal, if I choose to use it. The infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind constantly reveals to me everything I need to know on all my examinations, whether written or oral. I radiate love and goodwill to all my teachers and fellow students. I sincerely wish for them success and all good things. Today, Todd is now enjoying a greater freedom than he's ever known. He is now receiving all A's. He constantly imagines the teachers and his parents congratulating him on his success in his studies. Just one quick thing, and I'll get back to the reading. No one's life has changed because they listened to a podcast. Lives change when we apply what we're learning and change as a result. You've got to do the work to get the change. And if you haven't done the work of deprogramming the crap that's in your subconscious mind, you will go back to the business as usual in a very short time. Do the change. Check out the resources in the show notes. How to become successful in buying and selling. In buying or selling, remember that your conscious mind is the starter and your subconscious mind is the motor. You must start the motor to enable it to perform its work. Your conscious mind awakens the power of your subconscious mind. The first step in conveying your clarified desire, idea, or image to the deeper mind is to relax, immobilize the attention, get still, and be quiet. This quiet, relaxed, and peaceful attitude of mind prevents extraneous matters and false ideas from interfering with your mental absorption of your ideal. Furthermore, in the quiet, passive, and receptive attitude of mind, effort is reduced to a minimum. The second step is to begin to imagine the reality of the end you desire. For example, you may wish to buy a home. In your relaxed state of mind, you affirm as follows: the infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind is all wise. It reveals to me now the ideal home that meets all of my requirements and that I can afford. I am now turning this request over to my subconscious mind. I know it responds according to the nature of my request. I release this request with absolute faith and confidence in the same way that a farmer deposits a seed in the ground, trusting implicitly in the law of growth. The answer to your prayer may come from an advertisement in the paper or from a friend, or you may be guided directly to a particular home that is exactly what you are seeking. There are many ways in which your prayers can be answered. The principal knowledge in which you may place your confidence is that the answer always comes, provided you trust the working of your deeper mind. Suppose instead of wanting to buy, you want to sell a home, land, or any kind of property. The same approach of trusting the infinite intelligence of your subconscious mind will give you the guidance you seek. When I sold my own home in Los Angeles, I used a technique that many real estate brokers I have spoken to are now using with remarkable and speedy results. I placed a sign on the lawn in front of my home that said "For sale by owner." That night, as I was going to sleep, I asked myself, "Suppose you find a buyer for the house, what will you do next?" The answer was, "I'll take down the for sale sign and throw it in the garbage." Against the inner screen of my mind, I projected a detailed scenario. I took hold of the sign, pulled it up from the ground, placed it on my shoulder, and carried it to the trash cans at the back of the house. As I threw it in the garbage, I said, "Thanks for your help, but I don't need you anymore." I went to sleep, feeling the deep inner satisfaction of knowing that it was finished. The next day, a man gave me a deposit on the house and said, You can throw that sign away. You don't need it anymore. I followed his advice. I pulled the sign up and took it to the garbage. The outer action conformed to the inner. There is nothing new about this. As within, so without. In other words, according to the image impressed on your subconscious mind, so it is on the objective screen of your life. The outside mirrors the inside. External action follows internal action. Here is another effective method used in selling homes and of any kind of property. Affirm slowly, quietly, and feelingly as follows. Infinite intelligence attracts to me the buyer for this home who wants and who will prosper in it. This buyer is being sent to me by the creative intelligence of my subconscious mind, which makes no mistake. This buyer may look to many other homes, but mine is the only one he wants and will buy, because he is guided by the infinite intelligence within him. I know the buyer is right, the time is right, and the price is right. Everything about it is right. The deeper currents of my subconscious mind are now in operation, bringing both of us together in divine order. I know that it is so. Remember always that what you are seeking is also seeking you. Whenever you want to sell a home or property of any kind, there is always someone who wants what you have to offer. By using the powers of your subconscious mind correctly, you free your mind of all sense of competition and anxiety in buying and selling. How she succeeded in getting what she wanted. There was a young woman, Margaret T., who regularly attended my lectures and classes. Because of where she lived, she had to change buses 3 times to get to the hall. It took her 1.5 hours each way to attend a lecture. In one of my lectures, she heard me explain how a young man who had needed a car in his work received one. She went home and experimented with the technique I had outlined in my lecture. She later wrote me a letter telling me how she had applied my methods and what followed. I publish it here with her permission. Dear Dr. Murphy, I knew that I had to have a car for my personal growth. There was no other way I could go on attending your lectures regularly. I decided that as long as I was trying to obtain a car, I should try to obtain the car I had always dreamed about, which is a Cadillac. In my imagination, I went through all the steps I would go through if I were actually buying and driving a car. I saw myself going into the showroom and test driving the model I was interested in. I claimed the Cadillac as my own. Over and over again. I kept the mental picture of getting into the car, driving it, feeling the upholstery, and so on, consistently for over 2 weeks. Last week, I drove to your lecture in a Cadillac. My uncle in Inglewood had passed away and left me his Cadillac and his entire estate. A success technique employed by many outstanding executives. Many prominent business executives quietly use the abstract term success over and over many times a day until they reach a conviction that success is theirs. They know that the idea of success contains all the essential elements of success. Likewise, you can begin now to repeat the words success to yourself with faith and conviction. Your subconscious mind will accept it as true, and you will be under subconscious compulsion to succeed. You are compelled to express your subjective beliefs, impressions, and convictions. What does success imply to you? You want undoubtedly to be successful in your home life and in your relationships with others. You wish to be outstanding in your chosen work or profession. You wish to possess a beautiful home and all the money you need to live comfortably and happily. You want to be successful in your prayer life and in your contact with the powers of your subconscious mind. You are a business executive also, because you are in the business of living. Becoming a successful executive by imagining yourself doing what you long to do and possessing the things you long to possess. Because imaginative, mentally participating in the reality of the successful state. Make a habit of it. Go to sleep feeling successful every night and perfectly satisfied. And you will eventually succeed in implanting the idea of success in your subconscious mind. Believe you were born to succeed, and wonders will happen as you pray. Profitable pointers. Success means successful living. When you are peaceful, happy, joyous, and doing what you love to do, you are successful. Find out what you love to do, then do it. If you don't know your true expression, ask for guidance and the lead will come. Specialize in your particular field and try to know more about it than anyone else. Those who are successful are not selfish. Their main desire in life is to serve humanity. There is no true success without peace of mind. A successful person possesses great psychological and spiritual understanding. If you imagine an objective clearly, you will be provided with the necessities through the wonder-working power of your subconscious mind. Your thought, fused with feeling, becomes a subjective belief, and according to your belief, it is done unto you. The power of sustained imagination draws forth the miracle-working powers of your subconscious mind. If you are seeking promotion in your work, imagine your employer, supervisor, or loved one congratulating you on the promotion. Make the picture vivid and real. Hear the voices, see the gestures, and feel the reality of it all. Continue to do this frequently, and through frequent occupancy of your mind, you will experience the joy of the answered prayer. Your subconscious mind is a storehouse of memory. For a perfect memory, affirm frequently, "The infinite intelligence of my subconscious mind reveals to me everything I need to know at all times, everywhere." If you wish to sell a home or property of any kind, affirm slowly, quietly, and feelingly as follows. "Infinite intelligence attracts to me the buyer for this house or property who wants it and who prospers in it." Sustain this awareness and the deeper currents of your subconscious mind will bring it to pass. The idea of success contains all the elements of success. Repeat the word success to yourself frequently with faith and conviction, and you will be under subconscious compulsion to succeed. That's the end of this chapter. There's so much good stuff here, but if you don't address the self-sabotaging beliefs and behaviors in your subconscious mind, nothing will change for you. Don't be a listener, be a doer. Get the change you're seeking. The show notes contain links to lanesmithbrown.com, and for more helpful information on how to really apply the concepts in this book, check out my Unleash Your Life podcast. This is Lane Smith Brown, signing off.